right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say to everybody in the chat, B Haven is on. Robin Aroni is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Just Jesse is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Granite 2468 is on. Judy Anita is on. Hassle Free TV is on. D9597 is on. Sexy Pony's on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Sparky 8142 is on. JD Joy 25 is on. DK Jackson is on. I Am Mark is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Just Jesse is on. Graffiti Bug is on. Let me see here. Peg McGroin is on. General Plowman is on. Milwaukee James is on. Jim Brody is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Bud Dave is on. LA 106 Times is on. Gucci Buckeye's on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Golf Master 1 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. K4 VMS is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Craig 9 Mon is on. Busy Little Mama is on. Sexy Pony is on. Jen 11 Live Free is on. Daynow 59 is on. TJ T1 is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Those Jesus People is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Lady Boo is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. I see another one. Satcom 9475 is on. Just checking here, heading down to the bottom. I think that's pretty good. All right, hit just about everybody. All right, let's hop right to this now. Title of the show is Ceasefire with a question mark. Now, here's the thing with me, with all of this, what we need to always remember is there's a lot of false motives behind these things and a lot of corrupt motives. I'll try to hit a few of the corrupt and a few of the false motives. You have people that are motivated, and what they do is they agree not based on right or wrong. And that's what, and I'm talking about anything and everything. You can go back to COVID. You can go back to anything. You can talk about your personal life, familiar relationships. Always judge people on how exactly they're making their decisions. Are they making their decisions based on what is right and what is wrong? What are they basing their decisions on? Or are they basing it on expediency? And by expediency, what I mean is personal benefit. If you are making a decision based on personal benefit, but it has a right or wrong element to it, you are a rudderless ship. You are a principleless human being. That would be the Laura Loomers of the world. People like that who just make their decisions based on what is beneficial to them, which you are allowed to do. You know, you're allowed to do that when you're picking restaurants. You pick what's beneficial for you. But when it is a moral issue or a right or wrong issue, then you do not take into account what is beneficial for you. You don't do that. And a lot of the false motives are Trump bootlicking. And there's so many of these right now. Some of them I've chosen to unfollow. Some of them I've chosen to stay following. The ones that I've stayed following are the ones who are not ardently attacking the fake MAGA movement. Now, I've decided, because I've been labeled woke right and fake MAGA by the idiots in the MAGA movement, I've decided to rename them. They are the neocon MAGAs. Because now what they are, they have been, and Alex Jones did a great sort of GIF video today of the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where he's up there and he's about to take that idyllic statue out and he replaces it with a bag of sand. Well, now the real MAGA, which is no new wars. Oh, it's not a war, Tom. It's a precision strike. Except if that precision strike was struck in America, it would be considered an act of war by the same people espousing that it's not an act of war, which now, therefore, you have a right or wrong in that argument. You've chosen to be purposely wrong for expedient reasons. That is the Laura Loomers of the world, who will sell her soul to anybody who will write her a check, leftist or right. She will gladly do that. So now the neocon MAGA, because they have now been replaced, because they're in full agreement with Lindsey Graham and Meghan McCain and John Bolton. I'm trying to think of all the others that just pop into Teddy Cruz. Oh, you know what? The Bible says that when you bless Israel, you're blessed. And when you don't, you don't. It's not what it says at all. But that's what Ted's going to quote, because Ted makes sure that he was vaxxed twice. He made sure that he social distanced. He made sure he went home and locked himself in his own home, dutifully following the instructions. By the way, that not only came out of our White House at the time, but came out of Israel. So I guess right there, he was honoring Israel then. I just wonder if Ted honors their abortion clinics, because it's an Israeli doing it, so you would have to honor it, correct? Right? I mean, that's the way it is. Israelis have a very high abortion rate and a very high approval of LGBTQ. Push it, pimp it, and whore on their populations. I guess you have to bless that, right? Because if you bless what Israel does, even if it's inherently sinful, you're going to be blessed, right? But the Bible never even says bless Israel. It says bless Abram, even before he was Abraham, turning into the Abrahamic covenant, which is the cross covenant, which is the Jesus covenant, the covenant of faith, right out of the book of Romans chapter 3 and 4. Please, Ted couldn't even quote the verse that he was following. Typical of people who sign bills they've never read. So people oftentimes, they operate out of a plethora of false motives. I have an account that's built on, you know, I'm called the Trump MAGA Conservative 101 account. I'm called the Conservative Ultra MAGA account. So they built their entire world based on Donald Trump, who's not going to be president in 3.5 years, which I'm sad about, by the way. Still love Trump. Just don't agree with him. I love Trump, but see, I don't worship Trump. And I don't make decisions based on expediency towards the Trump movement. If Trump hates me, listen, if Trump hated me right now, I still would vote for him over any Democrat. I mean, but these people, they built their lives on bootlicking Donald Trump. So when a decision is made, when there's a decision that has to be made, and there is a right or wrong, if Trump does, and they know that it's right, and they know it's right, and they know what's wrong, and they know that a precision strike is an act of war. Do you know why it's an act of war? Because it's an act of war to drop 30 missiles on somebody's country and 6 bunker busters on somebody's country and then call it a precision strike, but not an act of war. But if it was done on our soil, it would certainly be considered an act of war. I never want to see it. But I would love these people to actually be held to account and actually have to answer for that if it did happen. Wait a minute. Russia just did a precision strike. It's not an act of war. So they make decisions based on false motives. So they have a decision to make. They know that they know what's right and they know what's wrong. But whatever Trump does, right or wrong, they call right. That is because their account is built on it. And I could name lots and lots of big names because they have access to the Trump administration in whatever way, shape, or form. Some a lot of access, some menial access, some access to lower tier members of the Trump administration, whatever it may be. But they have access to the Trump administration and they don't want to lose that access. Okay, if you make decisions based on what is beneficial for you and there is a right or a wrong element to it, you are a political whore. I mean, just think about it. You're going to whore yourself out. You're going to call what's right, wrong, and wrong right so that you can advance your career. What is that? That's being a prostitute. You're a whore. And that's where a lot of these people on the neocon MAGA side, because that's what they all are, run by Lizzie Graham, run by Benjamin Netanyahu. They are the neocon. They make their decision because Trump has made a wrong decision in bombing Iran. And by the way, you know what? I'm not making necessarily any predictions. I'm just saying I will be freaking shocked if the ceasefire is in place tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, all the way through tomorrow. Because Aaron put it out last night. This is, I don't remember the exact numbers, over 300 times since 2008 that Israel's violated ceasefires that they've agreed to.
Yeah.
So now let's say it was 350, now we're 351.
Yeah.
And they didn't take them but 2 minutes to violate the freaking thing. Not 2 minutes. And by the way, what was it? How did it occur? And I'm getting ahead of myself, but how exactly did it occur? Because there was allegedly a stray missile fire that hit nothing, and that's what they used to launch a massive missile. A stray missile coming from Iran, or was it Mossad, or the U.S. deep state, CIA, that went off. Of course, it just managed to hit nothing. You know, it might be a little bit more believable if it actually hit their, like, you know, their government consulate building where it actually killed people, that would be actually believable. But lo and behold, they made sure that it hit nothing. And Iran has said, we never fired it. And then Israel, in typical Israel fashion, said, you know what? They're firing at us. But it was one stray missile that landed and hit nothing. But yet then Iran used that as an excuse to do a sortie into Iran. Typical. Absolutely typical. Oh, just like if you're talking about Russia or Ukraine. Oh, Tom's pro-mullah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the evangelical hellfire brimstone preacher who believes that all Muslims are going straight to hell is, oh, I'm pro-mullah. No, I'm like, why bother with it? Why again, their economy is the size of Pennsylvania, if that. Iran's economy is less than the economy of Walmart, and we're going to attack them. They have no in-flight refueling, so how are they going to deliver a bomb? They have no delivery system to deliver a bomb. They have no re-entry system to deliver a bomb. Their aircraft are from the 70s, and we're going to bomb the living crap out of them. You know, because all of this obliteration of their ability to create nuclear weapons was all a false flag, bold-faced freaking lie. And I know what Trump was doing, because Trump is heavily influenced by the Israeli lobby because he has received $200 million. And yes, I said $200 million from AIPAC or AIPAC-affiliated agencies or NGOs, whatever you want to call them. But anyway, he wanted to, you know what? He's trying to play both sides. You can't. Just like he did with COVID. You can't. Eventually, and him playing both sides of COVID cost him the 2020 election because he ushered in a fraudulent electoral system funded by Mark Zuckerberg to the tune of $400 million with the Zuckerboxes all over every urban center in the United States of America, allowing mass voter fraud. And that's always Trump's mistake. Trump is great when he sticks to being Trump. What would have been the ultimate Trump move here? Stay out of it. Stay out of it. But he got lured in because Israel, and people are like, it's a precision strike. Trump has always said, and it's just so stupid from the neocon MAGAs. The neo MAGAs. Trump has always planned this. He's never once ever mentioned bombing Iran. Ever, find it. Ever. Until a week ago, he never mentioned bombing Iran. But yet all the idiots in the neocon MAGA movement, and now that's been usurped by Mark Levin. Mark Levin giving you your marching orders now, you MAGA morons. But anyway, I thought the anger was gone. It's gotten free fuel for some reason. I thought it was gone. But anyway, so, I mean, Donald Trump, heavily influenced by Miriam Adelson, gave him $100 million. I mean, $107, $103, whatever it was, million dollars for this one campaign. Yeah, but don't worry, Aaron. I mean, it has nothing to do with Israel. I mean, she doesn't expect anything in return for that, does it?
Of course
does
not.
She? So whenever Trump tries to play both sides of an issue is when he loses. Instead of just being who he is, just be who you are. He does that with transgenderism. They're out of the military. They're out of government funding. There's no equivocation at all. He wins, and he wins all of us. Now the only people that he's won are the idiots that are in the neocon MAGAs who are putting out, I mean, imagine this. You're alleged to be MAGA, like Laura Loomer, and you put out lists of who you're blocking. I'm putting you on my list. Oh, really? Oh, wonder who it is that always has lists. Oh, that would be the leftists. You're using Trump as an excuse to actually be a leftist, to actually be a totalitarian idiot. So anyway, so when Trump just sticks to being Trump, he's rock solid. But whenever he tries to play both sides of the equation, which is what he did here. I'm just wondering, back in June, when he said, basically, I'm never going to get involved in the Middle East. I'm not in June, correction. Back in January, he basically said, you know what? I'm not going to get involved in anything in the Middle East, and getting involved in anything in the Middle East is absolutely worthless. We've wasted trillions, blah, blah, blah. All right, and now everybody's saying that Trump has planned this forever, and that he must have planned it because Trump decided to get rid of their nuclear ability, which, by the way, he hasn't. There's absolutely no proof that he's gotten rid of anything, just like there's no proof of anything with COVID, not one bit. It's just what's being spoon-fed to Fox News. That's it. But, I mean, if you actually blew up the radioactive rods and isotopes, don't you believe that there would actually be some what's called radiation in the air? If you got rid of their nuclear program, let's ask ourselves this question. So we decided to bomb. We just decided to bomb a nuclear facility. I mean, I'm talking about a nuclear power plant. Wouldn't there be radiation everywhere? I mean, wouldn't there be? I mean, we've seen, whether it was Japan, whether it was Russia, Chernobyl. Chernobyl doesn't even get bombed, and it destroys an entire city. Till now, it's still empty and desolate because of the radiation. Right, Aaron?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, pull up Chernobyl. There was just an explosion inside of the plant, and it destroyed it. I mean, can everyone think logically? Can we? Listen, I love all of you in the chat, and I'm not turning on you. I'm not turning on you. Okay, we just disagree. If we disagree, we disagree. And it's the same thing if you believe that and believe in Israel first and bless Israel and all this stuff. Go ahead. We can still be friends on all that. We can still be friends no matter who you are. But I mean, I'm just gonna come at that ideology, not you personally, but at that ideology very hard. Other people I will come at personally, so I don't wanna lie. But anyway, so let's have everyone think about this logically. And because it goes right back to COVID. I mean, it's just like COVID. Absolutely no evidence to substantiate what the quote unquote experts were saying, right? Where are all the bodies? I mean, again, you had $600 million during COVID spent on United States Army Corps of Engineer hospitals that basically saw statistically zero people. $600 million. And I love that list. Aaron knows I've kept it. That's one of the very few things that I've kept from our original podcast. I have it at home. The list of one right after another. Minneapolis, St. Paul, zero. Two of them. Two Army Corps of Engineer hospitals built. Field hospitals built in Manhattan. Because, Aaron, that was the epicenter.
Yeah.
It was the epicenter of it all. You know, like right out of the movie Contagion. And so they built these Army hospitals and they saw zero patients. United States Comfort. A Navy vessel retrofitted for the onslaught at the that's also parked in New York Harbor. So they got two Army Corps of Engineer hospitals, USS Comfort parked in New York Harbor, and that saw 121 people total. But remember, they had the refrigerator trucks. It's all lies. So if you bomb Chernobyl, weird. Chernobyl was never even bombed. Then you had a tsunami hit the nuclear power plant in Japan. No bombing, no explosion at all. I mean, there was an explosion at Chernobyl. And there's radiation every freaking where, everywhere. But yet we bomb the nuclear weapon in uranium enrichment facilities with bunker busters, and there's no radiation anywhere. And then you have Trump coming out and saying, we destroyed their nuclear ability. This is where you don't jump on board. And I hear like the Benny Johnsons of the world, everybody else, they get their talking points. I mean, come on, Benny. You're honest about everything else except for Trump, which makes you a political puppet. Just because Caroline Leavitt says, and Caroline Leavitt's the worst of all. Everything is the perfect military operation that was done. This is how she talks. Last night, the perfect night, the perfect military conducted the perfect bombing raid using our perfect aircraft, and it was executed perfectly by the perfect pilots and our perfect military. And now we perfectly destroyed the Iranian ability to build nuclear weapons. I mean, you have to come out with this sycophantic homage to Donald Trump. I mean, really? I don't hear Bannon do that, and he's still welcome at the White House. It's kind of weird. So my question to all of the neocon MAGAs run by Lindsey Graham now, you want to fight? Bring it on. I love to fight. That's what I have to watch out for. I'm not one. You never have to worry about me not saying something. Oh, man, you know, Tom should have spoken up at that moment. You never, Aaron, you ever have to worry about that?
No.
You don't have to worry about that. You have to worry about me going off the other end. So, I mean, you want it, that's perfectly fine. So, I love it. Bring it on. I'd love if Laura Loomer called in right now. I'd debate her right now. She knows absolutely nothing. Prove to me. No radiation on the ground, but it was a perfect attack, right, Laura? Perfect attack, right, Benny Johnson? Perfect. Ben Shapiro, it's all perfect. I said I wasn't going to name any names. Well, I never said I wasn't, but I wasn't planning on it, but I can't help it. So everything's perfect. So, but every other place where there is a nuclear... any sort of nuclear atomic disaster or spill, there's radiation everywhere. But we allegedly had a perfect attack, destroying their ability to ever make nuclear weapons. And there's no radiation anywhere. Just like you have a pandemic in 2020, and there's no bodies anywhere and no excess deaths. And the very same people whoring that hoard this attack. And part of the people, and one of the people who hoard that was Donald Trump. Because I don't look at Trump as being perfect. He got up and said, now he got some things right and some things wrong. And what he should have done in 2020, in March of 2020, is be Trump. But he didn't for politically expedient reasons. Because if you got up at that moment and you said, I don't care what this thing is. I'm not, we're not closing. We're not mitigating. We're not shutting flights down. Then you are going to get crucified by the global community and by the left. Go ahead. They're the enemy. That's who you want to call. You mean, listen, if an ignoramus calls you ignorant, that makes you smart. So if Fauci comes out, what you do is you fire freaking Fauci. You fire Burks. You put Marty McCrory in there. You put Peter McCullough in there. People actually know something. Who actually looked under a microscope. You talk to, like, you put Scott Atlas in there. Guy came into the COVID task force late. And he said, when he met with Anthony Fauci, it was like meeting with a joke. Those are my words. Because Fauci never was prepared. Because Fauci doesn't look under microscopes. Fauci has no idea what he's talking about. He is given written talking points out of the globalist leftist movement, out of Davos, out of Glasgow, you know, out of the UN. Here's your marching, right out of New York City. Here's your marching orders. Just repeat as stated. Repeat as written. And he does it. And now, suddenly, all the same people that pimped and whored COVID are pimping and whoring this attack, and many who stood up during COVID now believe the people who pimped the COVID lie. And you even had a great track record. Some of you neocon MAGAs, you had a great track record because you knew going into Ukraine that it was the same hoaxers. I mean, think about how stupid you're being right now. And again, I'm not speaking to my own audience unless this applies to you. Think about how stupid you're being right now. Because you made it through COVID. You knew that the vaccine was absolutely a death shot. You knew that. You knew it was a hoax. You knew the pandemic was a hoax. You knew that. You knew the Ukraine war was not as is being espoused, and it was a hoax. You knew all of that. And then suddenly all the same people that pushed those two hoaxes are right on this. And you see all the money behind this attack? I mean, I honestly can't believe it. And again, it's the plethora of false motives. People will espouse anything if it's beneficial. I make money off of my Twitter account. So you know what? And I'm called like MAGA Girl. I'm MAGA Girl 107. And I make, you know, $57 a day being MAGA Girl. And I take pictures of myself in my MAGA-kini and all the, and so I'm going to have to whore. I'm going to have to whore that this was a correct attack, even though Donald Trump said he wasn't going to get us involved anymore. And well, it's not, it's over. Oh, the 12-day war over because now we're on day 13. We did listen to day 13, so the 12-day war is not over. And Israel never keeps a ceasefires, 300 plus. They violated since 2008. All right, let me get into some slides here. Can't believe it's already 9:30. But anyway, Antonio tweets video. Let's set it up with Jeffrey Sachs. Play it for me.
As an American Jew, I have no sympathy for Israel's policies at all. I find them disgusting because they have prevented peace. In 2001, the so-called neocons, who are also the so-called Zionist part of the U.S. government, produced a document that called for 7 wars in the Middle East in 5 years after 2001. And those 7 wars were to take out Israel's enemies. And those 7 wars were Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Libya, Sudan, and Iran. And there have been 6 of those wars fought on Israel's behalf. And Israel is pushing for war with Iran.
And in all those wars outside of Iran, and even here, it's still outside, even now, it's still the same thing. If we put boots on the ground in Iran, Israel won't be there. You watch, if that happens and we put boots on the ground in Iran, they won't be there. Netanyahu started the Iraqi war. Came over and pimped it to the Congress. Everybody jumped on board. Why would everybody in Congress? I mean, you just have to ever ask yourself a logical question. Why is everybody in Congress in favor of Israel on both sides of the aisle, with the exception of some of the maniacs like Rashida Tlaib? Where you're like, Tom, then that makes you on the side of Rashida Tlaib. If Rashida Tlaib is against this war, which she obviously is, her end decision is right based on idiocy. Because she is actually, you know, an ardent Muslim. So she has a right outcome based on all wrong motives and wrong decisions. So in life, it really is that complicated. Because there's people who are against this war who are completely idiotic, and they're against it for all the wrong reasons. And then you have all the people that are for it for all the wrong reasons. So anyway, so we've checkmarked all of those seven wars now, all of them. Every last one of them. And I'm just wondering, because Jeffrey Sachs is a Jew, so I guess he's cursed because he's not blessed in Israel. You're like, Tom, can't you get off that horse? No, because I hate wrong doctrine. I've been a part of that. I've said it a million times from my own, not a million times, but I've said it several times throughout my ministry that, you know what, you need to bless Israel. But then you take 2 seconds and look into it and you find out you're wrong. You know what you do when you're wrong? You stop being wrong. And there's another one. When you make a right, wrong decision, if you find out that you're wrong, but it's beneficial to continue being wrong, do you stay being wrong? Because that's what everybody did with masking and vaccine and social distancing and quarantining themselves. Well, I know that if I don't quarantine, all my friends are, they're all going to consider me less than compassionate. So you're going to lie so your friends think you're compassionate. All right, let's go to this one. Let me just play this one. Let me just play this one again. I'm just setting up the segment here in case anybody missed it. I know nobody missed this. Talk about this is the most viral video of the day. Tom Elliott video. Trump, I'm really unhappy with Israel. Play for me.
That Iran is still committed to the peace?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because the one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land, I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
So there you go. Now, of course, this was supposed to start at midnight today is when this was supposed to start. And that was the Iranian portion of it. So Iran is supposed to stop firing they had a 6-hour window where they're both agreed to this ceasefire. And once that 6-hour window, you're kind of like, okay, it's over. But everybody was allowed to continue their sorties for those 6 hours. So they had 6 hours from basically 6 o'clock yesterday till midnight today, the start of today, roughly 21 hours ago, started today. So they're supposed to finish bombing themselves. Imagine how stupid all of this is. Again, you're bombing a country that has no way to deliver a missile. And again, I'd understand it if we're going there to defend Israel against an aggressive Iranian invasion. But that, of course, is not what happened. But anyway, so they had that 6-hour window. And it was somewhat peaceful during that time, but of course, I'm sure there's missiles going back and forth. But anyway, so then you have Iran is then supposed to, during this time, is supposed to stop firing everything at midnight. And I didn't quite get how it all works. And then it officially kicks in for Israel 12 hours later. But it's the ceasefire began 6 hours before the official ceasefire. So as a show of good faith, Aaron laughed, made me laugh. So as a show of good faith, Israel drops its largest ordnance load ever into the inside of the time frame where Iran is supposed to stop firing at them. So they dropped their largest ordnance ever on them, saying that there was a stray missile that hit nothing. So then they dropped their largest sortie on Iran to date. To date, based on one missile that was fired. And we know that was fired by Mossad. I mean, you know that's what happened. Iran, listen, Iran is done. And this just shows you that this is a purposeless attack. Absolutely purposeless attack. If you parallel it to Ukraine, okay, people say, including me, I've said it many times, so you can go back, and I was wrong. Aaron, see how I did that?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Aaron, you know, seen that. Aaron's good at it too. When Aaron's wrong, Aaron says he's wrong. But anyway, because I thought, you know what? Russia will just roll through Ukraine. No, you know what? Russia's army sucks. I mean, they've had to reach out to North Korea to actually occupy the area that they don't, I can't remember the name of it now, but anyway, so they occupy the area they aren't occupying because Ukraine came in and took it. But again, I digress. So Russia's army is antiquated with, I mean, literally 1970s equipment. They have a really good nuclear weapons delivery system, reentry system, and have 6,000 nuclear bombs, nuclear missiles, bombs, whatever it may be, with hypersonic technology. They have that. They have that, but their army sucks. And they are not defeating the Ukrainians on the ground. So the difference being, though, is Ukraine is fully funded by a $1 trillion budget now that was just done in NATO today. And credit to Donald Trump. See, Donald Trump is great. And every time Donald Trump is Trump, he's great. But whenever he equivocates for Marianne Adelson or anybody else, for Fauci or whatever, whenever he equivocates, it's terrible. And it's like that for every human being. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, for whatever's more than these from the evil one. And you even see this, that's Matthew 5:37. And then you go to like Revelation 3:15-16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm, nasty decisions. You don't want that. You want hot or cold. That's it. That's what you do. But if you look at it, so Iran can maintain, I mean, Ukraine can maintain this war as long as Russia doesn't use nukes and their restraint is magnificent. Oh, Tom's pro-Putin. No, it's just what's true. It's like, I mean, that's what the anti-Semitic lobby out of the ADL and Greenplant are always dropping on, Jonathan Greenplant. That's what they're always dropping on you. Is you say anything critical of Israel makes you an anti-Semite. If I say that this attack was wrong, how am I anti-Semitic? Anti-Semitic would be I'm attacking their faith. There's nothing to do with it, but that's and again, that's on my list of the plethora of false motives. They use false motives to usher in false decisions or false accusations to manipulate behavior. But anyway, because people are so afraid of being called anti-Semitic that they will call right wrong and wrong right, so they don't get called that. Same thing they'll do with racism or whatever else. So, but Ukraine is able to maintain its battle against Russia because they're backed by the European Union and the United States, and we're still paying for Ukraine right now. Everybody, don't we have bigger problems than Iran's nuclear threat? Tell me, what is Iran's nuclear threat? They have no way to hit us with one, so what exactly is it? And there's no proof they ever had one. And our intel report that was parroted by Tulsi Gabbard in March said they have no nuclear weapon. They're nowhere near getting a nuclear weapon and don't want a nuclear weapon. And Trump embraced that in March, but it suddenly changed in June. And according to the neocon MAGAs, this is something Trump's always had up his sleeve. It wasn't manipulated by any sort of Israeli movement or the Israeli lobby out of AIPAC that gave him $200 million. And, you know, this would have happened anyway, according to neocon MAGA, even though it never happened until Israel unilaterally attacked Iran. And then Marco Rubio immediately puts out the tweet saying, we're not part of this, and now we're suddenly part of it and talking about regime change. And now we're not talking about regime change. And now Trump's pissed at them for violating the ceasefire, which, by the way, Aaron and I have calculated the numbers. This is actually 351st time they violated a ceasefire, Israel, since 2008. Congratulations. And all you neocon MAGA morons, congratulations, you stupid idiots. And you really are. You're just, I mean, some of these people, I don't mind if you know it. You just have your head surgically inserted up Trump's rectum. If you're like that and you just say nothing about people like me who are right and you're not, and you're choosing to be wrong so that you can keep your head sniffing Trump's rectum, then you know what? You say nothing, you're fine. But you come out and you attack people like me and call me fake MAGA. I sat up here, Aaron and I sat here for 7 hours the night for the podcast when Trump got elected. We'll be going like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and we sit here and rejoice that it, and now I'm fake MAGA. I attacked Trump for hitting COVID then and still voted for him. I attacked Trump for being wrong on COVID, wrong on Operation Warp Speed. I attacked him then. So, I mean, again, it's ridiculous. So anyway, back to the parallel between Ukraine and this, because there isn't one. There really isn't, because you have Ukraine is being backed by us. And then it finally starts to wane, and Trump's about to usher in a peace deal, and Pompeo and Lindsey Graham show up there, and the next day is the Russian Pearl Harbor Day. The very next day. And now the very same people, Pompeo, Bolton, Graham, Chris Christie, Meghan McCain, all are in favor of this war, and neocon MAGA jumps right on board. Just bends right over and grabs the bottom of their feet and lets the neocon Republican Party, just lets the neocon Republican Party have their way with them. Great, good job. And then turns on all of us who are right about everything. And about 75% of the Republican Party, according to, Harry Enten on CNN, according to his poll, 75% of the Republican Party supports the strike. Fantastic job. You've all become neocon MAGA, and the 19% of us who are against it, which, by the way, wasn't bad exactly the COVID stats, because 80% of the country got vaccinated and 20% of us didn't. But when the majority says it, it must be right. So again, you end up with substantive threats in Ukraine because they're funded by the European Union, United States. What's the threat in Iran? They're not funded by anybody. They have a $400 billion economy, the size of Pennsylvania, less than Walmart. Our economy is $29.3 trillion. And we feel like, and you hear the neocon MAGA morons come out and say, Trump saved America. From what? From what exactly? That's like going and squashing a roach and saying, I just saved people's lives. How? I know you killed something. I understand that you killed something. I'll make it even more gross. You go and stand, you go kick a puppy to death, and you're like, I just saved you because someday that could be a dog. When the dog is never a threat really anyway, and puppy certainly wasn't. And I know Iran is evil, but Israel isn't. Israel's not evil. Not from what I've seen. All right, let's go to the next one. MAGA Kitty video. So here's Bannon's response. President Trump is furious. Play for me.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that.
President Trump furious about this today. All, you know, he's not going to get involved in this thing. That's why he did the one and done, did the military strike, one and done, obliterated. Of course, today they're up on the hill. We're going to find out. We need to find out about this intelligence, about why it was so urgent, why Ratcliffe and the CIA was making the case against all the other intelligence groups, why it was so urgent. It had to be last Thursday. And I think the other question's got to be, when we went in and did the bombing, why do we have to do Tomahawks so the third site was above ground? Why? Why was that not taken out? Because here's what it looks like. It looks like the Israelis did nothing at all about the nuclear, you know, bomb-making capability of the Persians. The reason? Their entire objective from the first night, what did we say here on the show on Friday? It looked like a decapitation. Not of the religious leadership, but certainly of the military high command, including the people that President Trump was negotiating with. Steve Witkoff's negotiating with. And it turns out later, maybe they didn't get all of them, but at least on that Friday morning, they didn't have nobody was taking phone calls for the Sunday meeting. We need to get to the bottom of all that for the good of the country.
And we never will get to the bottom of it, because here's what he says here. So even Bannon's having to tote the party line that their nuclear abilities were obliterated. Show me proof of that. I mean, just show me proof that it was obliterated with some radiation on the ground. Because if you're going to hit their nuclear development sites, there would be radiation on the ground. But Bannon says, we need to find out about this intelligence. So in one way, because even Bannon is equivocating to some degree here, because he wants to keep his access to the White House, because if he doesn't, then his show will lose viewers. So there's no proof that anything's been obliterated, but we need to find out about this intelligence. This intelligence, again, that we're that they're days away. That they're days away from a nuclear weapon. Where now that intelligence was completely defied in March by Trump's DNI. Completely defied. So what changed this intelligence? I mean, what was it? We know about the 60 and 90 enrichment. We know about all of that. And there was no, absolutely no evidence in March that they were anywhere close to a weapon. But suddenly, after Israel struck, suddenly there is a threat to the United States. Even though there was no threat the day before. Remember, Trump was talking. I mean, I think all you neocon rhino magas. And you're like, Tom, you keep adding things to it. I know. I mean, why don't you ever think logically? Because Trump was asking Netanyahu for an extension on his 60-day negotiation with Iran. He was asking for that extension. And because why would he be asking, Aaron, why would he be asking for an extension when they're days away?
Right.
Oh, it's because they have no entry system, no delivery system, and no bomb. But then after Israel strikes, they're a grievous threat to the United States. And all, according to the MAGA moron neocon MAGAs, that suddenly, even though Trump considered them no threat 4 days before, now Trump, because he's Trump and worthy of all worship, he now decides that they're days away and we're going to strike him. No, it's because the Israel lobby is in his ear giving him $200 million. And now he's stuck by Benjamin Netanyahu, who Trump can't stand. And he knows. You see, this was the decision that he had to make because he knew he was being leveraged by Benjamin Netanyahu in the Israeli lobby, and he needed to stand and say, I know this is what you guys are all about. We're out of it. He did right. Park your destroyers up there. They're an ally. The missiles come back. Defend Israel. I'm fine with that. I don't like it. And I'm glad that America was successful in their bombing run against Iran because obviously I'm rooting for the military. But go park the destroyers off the shore. And when Israel runs out of its Iron Dome missiles, which are 100 times more expensive than the Iranian missiles flying in, so they're going to run out long before Iran. And by the way, just so people know, Israel has sustained massive damage to their country. Because they were under the belief that Iran could fire 30 missiles a day. No, they fired 300 a day. So again, I'll get back to Bannon. So we need to find out, Bannon talking here. We need to find out about the intelligence, about why it was so urgent. So Bannon, in the midst of equivocating to a very small degree, now is speaking the truth. Why Ratliff and the CIA was making the case against the other intelligence agencies. So we have Johnny Ratcliffe, the most underperforming F-minus performance member of the Trump administration, the head of the CIA, the CIA director, who has not fired one person. Not a one. FBI has under Patel and Bongino. Everybody else has fired people except for Johnny Ratcliffe, who has done absolutely freaking nothing against the agency that is nothing more than the Gestapo for the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist. He's done absolutely nothing. And he's the one whoring this campaign for this to occur. According to his intelligence, when Trump's the intelligence of Tulsi Gabbard's DNI, as DNI. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, we do need to get to the bottom of that. He knows what he's talking about there because he knows Ratcliffe's done nothing. And you have to take control of the CIA, which nobody else has in the history of our country, according to Jeffrey Sachs. Nobody has. One person attempted to take control of the CIA. And that, of course, was JFK, and we saw what happened there. All right, let's go to the next one. Josh Dunlap tweet. Breaking, Iranian command denies launching any missiles towards Israel in recent hours. Do you believe them? I won't necessarily believe them, but I think it's very odd that there was a very convenient stray missile that enabled Israel to violate the ceasefire and bomb the living crap with their biggest sortie yet. Bomb the living crap out of Iran. Let's go to the next one. Bannon's War Room video. Rand Paul, did Israel strike because of new intelligence or because Iran looked weak? Play it for me.
But the discussion over whether or not we had evidence, where it's gathered is immaterial, whether or not we had evidence that something had materially changed, I don't believe so. I think Israel struck out of a this idea that they had the least resistance it had in a long time. Hezbollah had been decimated. Yemen is somewhat in check. The Houthis are somewhat in check. And I think that they believed Iran to be weak enough. And, you know, the assessment looks pretty keen that they were weak enough, that both Israel and the United States were able to get in and out unscathed. But it really isn't the end of the question. It's the beginning of the questions now. Did something change in that intelligence? But also the question will be, does this stop them? And I think it's an open question. Does this stop them from getting a nuclear weapon, or does it spur them to get a nuclear weapon? And I think that's an open question we'll find out over time.
Let's talk about the issue. I see this in the chat. People are like, well, what about facts and prove false flag, full prove facts? Okay, prove the other side then. I never said it was a false flag. I said that's what I think it was. So prove the other. I mean, it's the same thing with any argument. People are like, it was not a fraudulent election in 2020. You are wrong. Prove to me you're wrong. You're saying that I'm wrong, and you're asking me for facts. And back when that was going on, I had them all. I don't have them anymore. It's been, you know, 5 years. But back then, I had the stats coming out of Georgia. I had the stats coming out of Pennsylvania. Had them all memorized. Had all that going on, so I easily could spout out the facts. But someone will say that you are wrong. It wasn't a fraudulent election. Well, show me proof. You're saying, show me proof that it was a fraudulent election. Show me proof it wasn't. So there's no way, by the way, in this argument that anybody can be proven 100% right. I don't have proof. I don't have proof that they didn't have 57 nuclear bombs with a delivery system. And you don't have proof that they had one atom bomb. Not a one. You don't have any proof that they blew up their nuclear ability. You have no proof, and I don't have any proof that they didn't blow up their nuclear ability. All I can go off of is the information that comes in. Nobody has any proof, which is very, very dangerous because we live in a closed society with really already the technical haves and have-nots. They make sure they secrete themselves, whether it's the Trump administration, Biden administration, Congress, Senate, Supreme Court, everybody secretes themselves. We're not allowed to see things. We're not allowed to see things from our representatives. The people that you and I elect, we're not allowed to see their information because they're our betters. And we, you know, because they're so much smarter. Not one of them, not many of them have, not, I can't say not one of them. A lot of them have never accomplished one thing in their life outside of prostituting themselves to get elected to some sort of office. That's it. That's all they've ever accomplished in their life. But yet they're so much smarter than us that we can't properly evaluate the information that they see. So again, if you're going to say something like, you know what, give me facts. Well, give me facts that support your opinion, Tom. I'll give you as many as I have. Then you give me the facts that support yours. Israel's days away. That's your argument now. Israel's days away. And now that's been said for 40 years since 1984 by Benjamin Netanyahu. Weeks to a year away. Weeks to 3 years away. So he's been saying for 3 years. Now, I would say that since that's gone on for 40 years, I'm probably closer to being right than you. Because it's gone on for 40 years that he said weeks to a year away. And it's never happened one time. And now suddenly, Israel attacks and they're a grievous threat to the United States because they're weeks away. I would say that the 40 years lists heavily in my favor of being correct. You have no proof. Pete Hegseth says it. So show me what Pete Hegseth is looking at. Pete Hegseth says what he has to say or he's going to lose his job. Always remember, see, that's why you won't see me. You never see me in an administration. I would never make it in an administration because I am not going to whore for anybody. I don't whore to keep people in the church. They come, they go, they hear the gospel, that's it. And we can listen, people that are watching this, when you may come to church, may watch the church, whatever it may be. We just disagree, but you can't prove anything. You can't. And by the way, I can't either. I can't prove anything. I'm telling you about the information that comes in, that's come in. We know I can prove this, that Iran has never been a substantive threat to the United States. That's an absolute fact. Absolute. How are they a substantive threat? I'm just curious. When did they ever raid on the shores of Georgia, Virginia? I'm just curious. When did they raid the beaches of California? When did they ever lob a missile or exploded a bomb inside of the continental United States of America? Well, they have killed American soldiers through their proxies. That's true. But why in the world? When did they do that? And they weren't justified, and they're grievous, horrible, hellbound murderers. There you go. That's the truth. Why? How were they able to do that? Because we went into their world at Benjamin Netanyahu's command. And Benjamin Netanyahu, see, I have proof. Benjamin Netanyahu has said for 40 straight years, started, because everyone says 30, people say 25, it's 40. It started in 1984. Benjamin Netanyahu has said weeks to months to a few years away for 40 years. That's a fact. All right, Chief Nerd Video. Thomas Massey, AIPAC has transitioned into a confrontational lobbying group. Play it for me.
There's one group of lobbyists I don't think really should exist or should have access to U.S. offices, and those are foreign lobbyists.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard you talk about this before, and I've heard a lot of people are talking about it now. It's definitely become a hot topic. And AIPAC is one of the big ones. And is it that stands for American
Israeli political. It's not a fund. It didn't start out as a super PAC. So
Political Action Committee,
Public Affairs Committee. There
Public
we go.
Affairs Committee, American Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Now, a lot of times PAC stands for Political Action Committee, like you said, but these guys were started before there were Political Action Committees. So it stands for Public Affairs Committee.
Got it.
And they brag that they've spent more on elections than any other lobbying group
in the world,
in the United States,
in
you know, in Congress.
Okay,
they now do have a political action committee, and I forget what the name of it is. So AIPAC has a subsidiary that spends money to basically crack heads of congressmen. So there's two kinds of, by the way, there are two kinds of lobbying groups. Mm-hmm. There's access lobbying. That's where they're all your friends. They're never mean to you. They were, even if they don't like you, they'll buy you a steak dinner and they'll try to get you to hear out their point of view. And they figure, as long as I can get in that person's office, I'm doing well for the people I'm lobbying for.
Okay.
But then there are confrontational lobbyists like AIPAC. And AIPAC has transitioned into a confrontational lobbying group where if you don't do what they want, they come after you.
Wow. What does it look like?
They spent $400,000 against me in my last election. And they are basically advertise themselves as just all things Israel. They are lobbying for more money to go to Israel, which all the money we give to Israel is military money. So they are basically lobbyists for the military-industrial complex.
Got it. Understood. So, and I'll ask you some questions about that, the military-industrial complex, in a few minutes. But do you feel like Israel is a fair ally? Are they a good ally for us?
Well,
or is that too general of a question?
Well, I think it doesn't matter. Like, there's no big, giant, Great Britain lobby. There's no Australian lobby. There's no German lobby.
Oh, the other countries don't have them.
No, not like this. This is singular. This is unique. I mean, if you're an ally, why wouldn't we work with you? Why do you have to convince us that you're our ally? Why do you have to basically go into every congressional office and convince them? And it's because they want to keep the money flowing. And they've got a good return on their investment. I mean, we send more foreign aid to Israel than to any other country.
Yeah.
They're, you know, like 10 million people or something.
Yeah, I think
Tennessee,
this year,
I don't know the population in Tennessee, but it's probably about, you know, on that order.
Yeah, I think this year they said we spent like $12 billion, but that's not actual dollars. It's in military aid, right?
Yeah, it's it's dollars
like
that comes out of the treasury.
Stuff?
Yeah, but it's not like we give them, it's a gift certificate that's redeemable at Lockheed Martin and your local Raytheon, you know.
Okay, got it. So that's kind of how that works.
So to be briefly redundant on everything, just put that next one up side by side. Just showing you now, if you're going to believe somebody, if you're actually going to believe somebody, then look at where they're receiving money. So Thomas Massey receives nothing from AIPAC. Now, listen, I've not always agreed with Massey. There's stuff that he does that I don't agree with. I agree with him now because he's right now. And again, I go back to this. 80% of the Republican Party is in favor of this strike. Just like 80% of the country got vaccinated. Exactly. Just so you know, 78% of the Republican Party agrees with this missile strike. Okay. So, and I don't consider everybody who agrees with it my enemy. I just disagree with you. But you actually have to deep dive and look into why is everybody in favor of this? Well, Thomas Massie is against it because he can speak freely because none of his political aspirations are dependent on Israeli money. And he doesn't take their money and they try to smear him and they run candidates against him. And now Donald Trump has started an anti-Massie PAC run by Chris LaCivita to run somebody against Massie in a primary next year. Which you're gonna, Trump is gonna get humiliated. He's gonna drop, because Trump said, no matter what I have to spend, I'm gonna get them. Donald Trump, we don't have bigger problems than this than you going and trying to unelect Thomas Massie, who has a Liberty score that's through the roof. Really? That's what you're gonna do? But I guess since Trump is doing it, it's right, right? According to the neo and MAGA morons, right? So that's what he's received. Now, I wonder why it is, because I know Trump did not want to do this bombing. I know that he didn't. But he did what he did during COVID and started putting masks on because he was afraid of the consequences of not doing it. And came up with Operation Warp Speed because he was afraid of the consequences of not doing it. He himself had COVID. He didn't have any problem with COVID. At the time, he was like 74 years old. He had no problem. He's much chunkier then, too. He's got nice and thin and ripped now. But he had no problem at all with COVID, none whatsoever. Was even pushing the right things like hydroxychloroquine. And even survived remdesivir somehow, Trump did. So anyway, he had no problem with COVID, but then yet pimped the vaccines because that's what the globalist left want him doing. By the way, I don't know what he receives out of Big Pharma into his campaigns. Nothing big that I've ever heard. So Massie is able to make, now when you're making a decision based on right and wrong, should personal benefit be included in the equation? Should it? Should personal benefit be included in the equation? No. So Thomas Massie has removed personal benefit out of the decisions he makes about Israel because he doesn't receive AIPAC money. But here's Donald Trump and many others. Go to the next one for me. And here's Donald Trump, though. Here's the problem. AIPAC track. This is all true. It's 100% accurate. Donald Trump, President of the United States, $230 million he's received. Independent expenditures and campaign contributions received from pro-Israel interest groups. $230 million. And that had no impact? None whatsoever? No impact whatsoever on his decision making? No, maybe it didn't. Show me proof, Tom. Okay. Only God knows the heart of a man. So I'm like, I mean, you don't think that had anything to do with it? I don't think he wanted to do it. But when Miriam Adelson gives you $107 million in your last campaign, it might make you think, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, there's no promises made, really? You sure? And why don't you just stand? Because he stood up, and I don't think he rightly did. I'm leaning heavily towards Elon now from the decisions that I've seen. Because, by the way, how's Doge doing? I'd like to do other stories, right, tonight. I'd like to do other stories. I would. There's nothing else going on. There's some border stuff I could do. I mean, there's some ICE roundup stuff. I'd love to see our ongoing attack. Aaron, you got that clock? I'd like to see our ongoing attack on the debts and deficits, but there it is. We crossed $37 trillion. How's that work so far? All you people that no matter what Trump does, it's right. Oh, really? That right? Trust in the experts? Trust the government? Really? Right here? Really? What's happened? Nothing. You watch it. You count 19 seconds from right now, and it'll go to $946 million because we're spending $1 million every 19 seconds under Donald J. Trump. But no matter what, that's exactly what Biden spent. Exactly. But because Trump's doing it, it's right. Trust the government. Oh, really? That's what you're going to do? Because Trump's the government now, that's what you do is trust the government? I would love to do other stories. I'd love to do. I long, leave this up, Aaron. I long for the old days of 3 months ago. I long for the old days when we had Elon here and we could say this is being cut today and that's being cut today. What's happened to all that? Oh, no, we've gone right back to where the neocon MAGA morons wanted to go. Let's go bomb Iran. That's no threat to us. We're not going to bomb countries that are actually a threat to us because they're a threat to us. Let's go kick the puppy. Might be an evil puppy, but let's go kick the puppy. Then we can actually say we kicked a dog. It might be a puppy, but we kicked a dog. And then and the neocon MAGA morons, look at us win with our precision strikes. All the while, this is still ticking. Let's spend more money. How much did it cost to fly the B-2 bombers over there with bombs that weigh 30,000 pounds each? How much did it cost to put two carrier groups in the Persian Gulf region? How much that cost? Why? What for? Because suddenly Iran's a threat to us? No, we weren't a threat during the Biden administration. We weren't a threat during the first Trump administration. We weren't a threat during the Obama administration, 1 and 2. We weren't a threat during the Bush administration. We weren't a threat for the first 6 months of the Trump administration until Israel unilaterally attacked them. And then suddenly they become a threat, even though their military abilities weren't enhanced in any way by Israel's attack. I'd love to talk about other things. There's nothing else to talk about because we're in another Middle East war. Oh, there's a ceasefire. Okay, the ceasefire is on day one now because day one was canceled. Day one didn't last. If you were a betting man or woman, where would you put the money on this ceasefire lasting? What would you put it on? Honestly, if there was odds per day, if you had to bet, I mean, a gun to your head, you had to bet whether or not the ceasefire was going to last through Wednesday, which side would you bet on? You have to bet.
Ugh.
I know where I'd bet.
Yeah.
So again, go back to where we were. I want to just show you. This is the truth. People are motivated by the money they're given. Would everybody not agree?
Yeah.
I mean, people are. It may not even be motivated, but it's certainly influenced. Massey receives zero, and he's able to make a clear-minded decision about attacking Iran for Israel. But everybody else who actually receives AIPAC money, and when Tucker Carlson asked Ted Cruz about this, do you receive money from foreign lobbyists? His the first sound that came out of his mouth was, okay, you know the person's off. You know the person's about to lie. Because Tucker Carlson says, I've never received any money from foreign lobbying groups. Have you? And Ted Cruz goes, And then Tucker Carlson says they are, in fact, a lobbying group out of Israel. And Ted Cruz snaps at, no, they're not. I mean, look at their name. See, American Israelis
Political Action
Committee. Yep. Thank you, Aaron. You're the best.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with Israel. Imagine being Ted Cruz. I mean, and again, right there, Ted Cruz had a decision to make. Have you ever received money from a foreign lobbying group? Yes or no? What do? You don't make a decision based on what's best for me. You tell the truth. That's the other thing too. I've talked about it in the sense of when you are deciding what's right and what's wrong, you don't take in whether it's going to be beneficial for me. When it's about speaking the truth or not, you do not take into account whether it's beneficial for you or not. You speak the truth. Ted Cruz, a little lying as Carlson, a little feline way, equivocated. You do receive money from a foreign lobbying group. You do. And probably millions of dollars. And here's the list of people that do. Let's go to the next one. Dissident media video. Here's the list. Play for me. There you go. I mean, everybody's receiving the money. And then why is it that, and by the way, they're the only foreign lobby. They're the only foreign lobby that's even in Congress. Every single congressman or woman has an AIPAC representative attached to them. Every one of them, except for Massey and maybe one or two others. That's it. Everybody in Congress outside of Massey. I don't know about every single one of them. And I wonder why they always vote for foreign wars. Because if you're like, you know what, I'm going to run and I'm going to get $1.8 million put into my account by AIPAC, and all I got to do is say, you know, that's all right, a couple tomahawks into Iran. What does that affect me? How does that affect me? I don't know, people dying that you're going to answer for at the Great White Throne Judgment. Everybody for this war, you know, you're going to answer for these things. You're perfectly fine with murdering human beings. Perfectly fine with it. You're against abortion, but you're perfectly fine with collateral damage from tomahawk missiles. You sure you're in right standing with God, being okay with a preemptive strike against a country that's no threat? You sure that's okay with God? You sure? preemptive strike? Based on what data do you have? You're just going to start paying, you know, start, you know, playing proud to be an American in your mind and picturing B-2 bombers and getting all patriotic. You sure that's God's way? That, you know, we know confirmed that one of Israel's bombs killed four people. We know that. You're okay with that? There's four people that are dead. Somebody's mother, somebody's father, somebody's son or daughter. But don't worry, it's a precision strike. It's not an act of war, it's precision strikes. You know, and another thing that's weird, if you listen to Bannon's dissertation earlier, is when Israel claimed that they had wiped out Iran's nuclear ability, but yet didn't knock it out. That's kind of weird too, isn't it? It's like as if it wasn't really their goal to wipe out their nuclear ability when they depended on us to go in and knock out their nuclear ability. It actually sounds to me like they wanted to knock out the regime, which is what they did. Everybody knows what they did, right? They had Mossad run an operation inside of Iran and sent out via like their verified text, like government approved text messages. You know how good the Israelis are with the pagers that exploded on people and all that stuff. They sent it out and convened everybody via a false. I don't know what I'm not strong on the, you know, tech verbiage, but based on a false invitation to a meeting in a building sent out via text sent by Mossad. So they all went to the building and that building was struck, but not their nuclear facilities. That's weird. I thought they were going after their nuclear capabilities. Huh. Oh, no, they want a regime change. And now everybody's mad. Bolton's mad. Lindsey Graham's mad. I'm sure Lindsey's going to show up in Israel sometime soon. It's going to happen. If the ceasefire lasts 3 or 4 days, you watch it. Lindsey Graham's going to show up in Israel. Watch. He's going there to congratulate Netanyahu on a great war. And then lo and behold, there'll be an Israeli, somehow the next day, a stray Iranian bomb will fly into Tel Aviv, and then they'll all start over again. And I honestly think this too. You know, I've said a lot of negative things, that now where we are now, and because I don't agree with what we've got, basically where we are now is the United States has eaten a whole lot of poop, but we didn't get any on our mouth. We didn't get any on our chin. So it's clean. You still ate the poop, but there's no collateral damage, no poo-poo on your chin. So that's where I'm at. So in that, Trump has done a great job keeping the poop off the face. Great job. He has done a great job. He's doing a great job in NATO. NATO today had to up their military spending to the levels of the United States. That's all because of Donald Trump, which will save us trillions of dollars. Donald Trump has brought in $14 trillion worth of foreign investment and domestic investment into our country. Closed the entire border. Inflation way down. But is passing a big, beautiful bill that will add $2 trillion to the debt and drive inflation back up. So I want to show you this. Champagne Joshi video. How easily we forget that in 1995, Netanyahu incited violence amongst his supporters, which led to the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. It's strange how people always are dying around Netanyahu. Play it for me.
The intensity grew, culminating in a massive protest. Tens of thousands crammed into the center of Jerusalem.
He was genuinely outraged, but he knew how to channel that outrage. And that coincided with his rise to power.
In Netanyahu's conservative Likud party, there was concern about the growing tension in the crowds that night.
There were moments when Netanyahu was advised that, you know, there are real nutcases in the national religious camp that we see that we need to calm down, even gesturally. Netanyahu never did that. He never did that, to his enormous discredit.
The crowd was with him as he attacked Arafat. And then the government of Yitzhak Rabin.
שמתרפסת בפני האיש הזה. אני אומר לה בשם הציבור הגדול הזה, אנחנו כאן כי לעולם לא ניתן לחלק מחדש את ירושלים.
All Likud leaders, especially Benjamin Netanyahu, they have used very strong language against Prime Minister Rabin.
אנחנו פה כי יש לנו רק ירושלים אחת ולשמור עליה.
They didn't use any kind of condemnation against the violence that was starting to take place.
Netanyahu would later say he never saw the ugliest moments that night. Throughout Israel, the anger boiled over.
I was there, and a lot of other people my age were there. This was such a volatile atmosphere at the time, and the writing was on the wall.
Night after night, the crowds massed across the street from Prime Minister Rabin's apartment in Tel Aviv.
I'm there one Shabbat evening. We're talking. It's just the two of us, and there's a demonstration outside. And I said to him at the time, I said, don't you worry about some of this? He goes, no. I mean, he was, it's not that he was, you know, it's not that he was completely dismissive of it, but he took it as kind of a given. He knew, in a sense, what was coming and simply accepted it.
Rabin responded with his own rally. More than 100,000 supporters singing of peace. Rabin was leaving. That's him coming down the ramp. The man in the blue t-shirt approached. Three shots from behind.
The Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, the architect of the Middle East peace process, has been assassinated.
The assassin, a right-wing Israeli Jew, Yigal Amir.
Truly shocking news from the Middle East tonight. Israel's Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin has been assassinated.
Evening spent dreaming of peace turns into a national nightmare.
Outside the hospital, a crowd began to chant, Bibi is a murderer. The sign says, Bibi, Rabin's blood is on your hands.
An assassin has taken yet another world leader away from us. It was just after the biggest peace rally in Tel Aviv.
Rabin's widow blamed Netanyahu for contributing to her husband's death.
The assassination of Yitzhak Rabin has also produced shock in the Palestinian community.
And said so on worldwide television.
Your husband pointed the finger at Mr. Netanyahu and said, you must stop this incitement. Yeah. To what extent do you blame Mr. Netanyahu and the Likud for what has happened?
I do blame them. The rally in Kikar Zion in Jerusalem that showed him in the uniform of a Nazi. So Mr. Bibi Netanyahu, now he can say from here to eternity that he didn't support it and didn't agree with it, but he was there and he didn't stop it.
So people just need to be real cautious about who it is that you're taking your orders from or who's influencing you. I don't believe Trump takes orders from Netanyahu. I just believe he's influenced by what Israel does. I honestly don't. I think Trump can't stand. That was the intel coming out of the White House, is that Trump brought Netanyahu into a back room and screaming at him. So I don't think Trump has any respect for Netanyahu, but Trump thinks at times in a politically expedient way, and he can't, because when he doesn't, he's perfect. When he does, he's far from perfect. And that's how it is. And by the way, if we want to win the midterms, there's people that, listen, I'm not going to keep attacking or whatever. Well, I shouldn't make promises I can't keep. But I'm just saying, like, online or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, if you want to win the midterms, you know, you're pro this strike. I'm against this strike. We're still going to have to vote for the same people. I'm just throwing that out there. But I'm not going to go overboard trying to make peace either, because I've saw the MAGA moron section of the neocon MAGA movement, and I'm like, I have no interest in those people. I honestly don't. But anyway, they just need to be real careful about people whose death follows them everywhere they go, like Benjamin Netanyahu, people like that. But anyway, all right, that's it. Rumble Rant site, Mike Griffith. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you at church every Sunday. Love you. $20. Nate Dad won $20. Greg Nine Mon $5. Appreciate you guys in the rant. Appreciate you guys in the chat. Don't hate each other too much. Let's get over it to at least some degree, unless somebody's going to be a complete idiot. Get past it. But anyway. Love each and every one of you. Stick with us for the post game. It's really, really good. I don't think there's hardly anything in there about Israel. So you get a nice little 5-minute break from that old thing. I hope there's different news tomorrow. I really do. I hope that the ceasefire lasts and we can get back to the border. We can get back to the debt. We can get back to the BBB. And that's not Benjamin Netanyahu. That would be Big Beautiful Bill. I hope we can. I really do, because I'm getting sick of talking about it too. But if you watch this podcast, you know I get sick of talking about stuff. And right now I am sick of talking about it. But, I mean, we can't talk about anything else. What else is going on? There isn't anything else. But, anyway, you'll get a nice break from it in the post game. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.